Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
All right, back here at Barrington Golf Club, Jason Gibbs, Browns senior staff writer Andrew Gribble, the two people that everybody doesn't want to see on the golf course today here at Barrington, along with Rob McBurnett. Glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon. McBurnett just walks away on that. Coming up, we'll hear from Craig Robertson, John Hughes, Joe Hayden, Ted Ginn Sr., number of players, front office people, and people impacted by the Browns Foundation set to join us here over the next couple of hours. Glad you're with us. Right now, first and foremost, though, time to hear from the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. He talked to the media earlier today, and here are his thoughts on a number of things, especially on the offensive side of the football.
You play golf, coach? Are you good?
Yes and no. I used to be halfway decent, and it's just you don't play enough, and then when you play in events like this, which scrambles, as most golfers know, aren't exactly ideal for your game when you're trying to come out of your shoes on the tee box and can be a little bit more reckless with it. But I grew up caddying, so my dad plays a lot, so got good for a while, but hopefully I can come back to me at some point. Usually coaching and golfing usually don't go together. I don't want a staff of good golfers because that means we're probably not very good coaches.
How obviously you see the trade, how comfortable are you with your tight end decision right now going in, and in what you know of the new offense, how involved will the tight end be, any more or less?
I think the tight ends will be very involved. We want to run the football. That's an important part. It's going to be a cornerstone of what we do, and we also want to be able to control, work the middle of the field, and that's why we felt very fortunate to add a Rob Hauser to what we feel is a solid duo in Jim and Gary. Drafting Randall Telfer, he was one of our top-rated tight ends. We were fortunate to be able to get him when we did. We all know that the injury is well documented, but there is a chance that he'll be able to help us late in the year. And then we found two guys in the rookie camp, Bibbs and Hapley, who we feel are solid guys that I think have a legitimate chance. So that room went from being, before we signed Hauser to a big question mark to we feel is very deep.
Did you always talk about right player, right price? Did you guys look and think at all about one of those top two tight ends in the draft, or it just wasn't? You had other things that you had to get accomplished.
Yeah, the value was never there at the slot that we were picking. It wasn't a deep tight end draft. It was more quality than quantity. But it never presented itself. And we already felt going into it that we had three solid NFL tight ends that I wouldn't have called it a huge pressing need.
What about running back, Mike? Do you any concerns that there's not maybe a proven veteran among what's really a young group?
I wouldn't say that's a concern. I mean, we're very confident in year two that Terrence and Isaiah will take that next step, and then to add Duke in the draft, that's a position we feel that guys can come in and contribute early. It's not a running back's not a position where hey, it's going to take 3 years for a guy to truly hit. So we're fully confident in Wilbert and Flip to get those guys coached up, and I think that's a bit of a concern the youth, but that's also a positive as well that we have young fresh legs.
And when there's maturity concerns, I mean, we know Terrence and Isaiah both had some issues last year. When do you know that that's over or it's been resolved? Not till during this
season. 5 years from now.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a concern. Did they figure it out? Or
yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a little bit easier now when there's no adversity. I mean, that's the test when things aren't going well. And that's what we talk about all the time with our guys, is the demonstration of mental toughness. And that usually is tested, as we all know, is during the season.
You said last week that Terrence West has untapped potential. What do you mean, and how much better can he get?
Well, it's just that he's shown it in practice, and he certainly showed it on his college tape. He is capable of being a legitimate NFL starter, and it was just as with a lot of rookies, just a consistency thing. So I think that as he begins to get it, and he gets the playbook nailed down, You know, year two, we're just we're looking for big things from him.
Mike, can you talk about focusing more on the offense yourself? What's the transition been like so far, and how's your day to day different? I mean, at this point,
very different. I'm in all the offensive meetings. I was not thrilled with Coach Mueller the other day. He was showing cut-ups and showed a film from when I was in Buffalo as a defensive coordinator, and we gave up a 30-yard touchdown run, and the players were all getting after me, more so because I was wearing white pants on the sideline as opposed to the I wear what they put in my locker. So, no, but it's been great. Like I said, feel very rejuvenated as a coach to kind of be in there, be a part of it. To be out there, on the practice field. The good thing about it now is I can be out there for both groups because they're out for the phase two work at separate times. But Flip and I are very much on the same page with where this offense is headed. And like I said, I'm real excited to be a part of it.
Is this moves forward? Is this going to be in terms of your involvement? Are you going to be overseeing the big picture strategy or helping Flip game plan or both? Or?
Yep. That's the plan at this point. The big picture stuff for sure. Still will be involved with the defense, but want to be a part of the game planning as well. Just to give the defensive perspective of who they're going against. I have a good feel for NFL defenses, having studied a lot of them or knowing kind of where the trees, the coaching trees, and there's different styles and kind of different rules within those. And I think that's where I can be beneficial to them.
Did you have to prepare any different for that? Did you have to put your nose in an offensive playbook more than you would have last year? Obviously, more than as a defensive coordinator. But
I did. I have flashcards to help me learn a lot of the formations as well. Now it was like just like being a rookie. Give me a book, and learn it just like a first year player would learn it.
Could you see yourself calling, or maybe not calling plays, but suggesting plays come Sundays? And did you do that at all last year with Kyle?
To some extent, but that was more run pass. Hey, we can be conservative here, or let's make sure the clock's still running after this play. That was more game management type. It wasn't call this specific play. But if I'm involved in the game planning, then I could certainly see that happening, getting a little bit more specific on game day.
Was that the plan? The plan anyway? Would you have done this had Kyle stayed?
I would have taken a more active role in it, especially now that I felt the defense was up and running and fully functional, that I felt that my time would have been better spent on the other side.
Like being a first-year head coach, learning how to be an administrator.
It is, and that's to me is the biggest transition. You go from, and I've said this before, 90% coach, 10% administrator as a coordinator, and that almost completely flips, going from the teacher to being the principal, and that's a big part of the job.
Mike, in terms of that big picture strategy for the offense, you keep talking about the hope to minimize the importance of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How much will you lean on your experience, just what you saw as a member of the Jets when you in 2009, 2010, when you guys were able to do that to go to back-to-back title games and Flip was part of the staff for one of those?
I mean, it's a formula that it's not the most common path. People still try to be quarterback-driven, and I'm not saying that we're going to be looking to win games 9-6. I mean, we still want to be explosive on offense. We just don't want to put our quarterback in situations where the percentages aren't there. We don't want to be in third and long. We don't want to be in second and long. We don't want situations where a quarterback is getting hit a lot. When a quarterback is upright and he can get through his reads quick and get the ball out of his hands, he's a lot better. If you get hit a lot early, now you're kind of seeing ghosts late. You're not as accurate. We just want to make his life easier.
We had Joe out.
Joe was out here early.
Hayden was out here earlier talking, and it seems like a bunch of the guys, or I don't know how many guys, get together and play basketball. Is it something that you like, the fact that the guys get together, and B, does it worry you at all when guys are out there?
I like it, and yes, it worries me. Yes and yes.
Do you allow it just because it's something that they like to do and it's something they get away
with? We do, just because of the percentages, and if they're smart about it, that to me it's a team-building thing, and if they're doing something athletic, I'd rather them do that than sitting on the couch playing PlayStation.
Can I ask you one more quick one? You keep talking about how you and Flip are on the same page. Are you on the same page with him more than you were with Kyle?
Well, I wasn't with Kyle as much, just from a planning standpoint, because I was on the other side of the ball. So I wouldn't say we weren't on the same page. We just didn't communicate as much. Whereas here, I'm with him every step of the way as far as here's what we're implementing today. Here's what's going in. I sit in on the install meetings. And like I said, I carry a playbook around just like any other player would do.
That's Mike Pettine from earlier today. Andrew Gribble, takeaways from what Coach Pettine had to say to us today.
Well, I thought that last answer was one of the most interesting ones because it just kind of indicates the increased comfort level, I'd say, there is between Mike Pettine and John DeFilippo than maybe there was last year with him and Kyle Shanahan. I think he has a history with DeFilippo dating back to their time with the Jets, and it's someone he's eyed as someone he'd like to work with for years. And I think it just differs where Shanahan was maybe the most qualified offensive coordinator at the time when they brought him in last year. But now there's more comfort. Pettine's comfortable with what he has on the defensive side of the ball enough to devote himself to that offensive side. So I think that the more this offseason unfolds, the more we're going to be hearing even more insightful answers from Pettine about the offense because he's in that room so much.
And this is strictly an observation for me. I always felt like maybe Kyle Shanahan had one foot out the door when he was here. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. But I definitely sense a lot more chemistry. I thought the questions about the play calling were interesting from the media.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's going to get to the point where Pettine is calling plays, but I think he's going to maybe have, because he's maybe earned that credibility in the room with DeFilippo, he's there, he's involved, it's going to be more of a collaborative effort. And I think that's a good thing, especially when John DeFilippo is obviously a qualified guy ready to do this job, has been an offensive coordinator at the college level, but this will be his first year officially calling plays at the NFL level. So it'll be good to kind of have that Mike Pettine there in your ear. And it's not like Pettine's not the guy that's just going to take over the whole thing and try to run everything by himself. He talked about that role as being an administrator as opposed to being kind of involved in that coordinator role. And it's definitely a role I think he's even more comfortable with going into his second year as a head coach.
And I think when you first heard him say it, you're like, whoa, is he going to be calling plays too?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the case. And he kind of played that off. And I think he was right when he said, you know, he's going to be there 2-minute warning, 2-minute offense. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the first half or at the end of a game, let the clock run here, you know, or let's call timeout right now. Let's, you know, helping Coach DeFilippo through those processes. And I think the other big takeaway is he's got a tremendous amount of confidence in Jim O'Neill right now.
Yeah, no, and really, because you not only just have Jim O'Neill there, you have basically every position coach in the same spot for a second year. And you also – I think it's safe to say that side of the ball from start to finish was much more consistent and had some areas where it played really well. I think the run defense is obviously something that needs to be a lot better and going forward, but you had one of the best secondaries in the NFL. 3 guys made the Pro Bowl. You were very tough in general against the pass, and you had some good moments out of your pass rushers, though you'd like some more production in terms of sacks and disrupting quarterbacks. So I think on top of that, you're putting so many new players on that side of the ball on top of all the returning ones, so you're really going to have the cream rise to the top on that side of the ball. And really, you should feel the feeling is so much confidence on that side of the ball. I mean, it's just so clear when we talk to the players about it.
All right, break time for us. When we come back, more from Barrington Golf Club here in beautiful Aurora, Ohio. Never fret. It's always a good day out on the golf course. You could be at work. For most people today at this golf outing, it is enjoyable and it's nice and relaxing. And we'll get into more. And we'll hear from Craig Robertson. We'll hear from Joe Hayden. We'll hear from John Hughes. Ted Ginn Sr. will join us. All that and more. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from the Cleveland Browns Foundation 16th Annual Golf Tournament on ESPN 850 WKNR.